106.9 WCTR, the greatest hits of all time. It's Thursday and it's time for Pet Patter with Dr. Rachel Crockett. Good morning, Dr. Crockett.
Good morning.
Every time I turn around, I say that a lot of the topics that we talk about come from my real life experiences with my dogs. And poor Miss Molly was not feeling well, and I brought her in, and she was diagnosed with pancreatitis. Now, here's the deal. Most people think pancreatitis is because you've been giving them too many table scraps or feeding them the wrong thing. But Miss Molly is on a very strict diet because she had bloat before I got her and she had to have surgery. So let's talk about pancreatitis and the fact that it doesn't necessarily have to come from people food.
Yeah, that's the trick of it is, I mean, it's easy when you're like, hey, yeah, just give them some pork or pork fat, bacon, those sorts of things as a treat. Well, then that's your answer right there. But when there's no clear obvious reason why we would see a case of pancreatitis, then it gets a little bit more, well, what in the heck happened? But the pancreas, that is the, I guess, the biggest kind of aha cause of pancreatitis is our high fat treats. High fat, anything, because fat will stimulate the pancreas because the pancreas is involved with digestion and digestive enzymes, and like too high fat of anything can really make it angry, I guess is the right word for it. It doesn't necessarily have to be diet, though, although diet often plays a huge role with pancreatitis. Sometimes there's the genetic predisposition in certain dogs to develop pancreatitis. I mean, some dogs' pancreas are so sensitive that it doesn't take much to set it off. So a lot of times we have dogs that have developed pancreatitis. They are more prone to developing it in the future, but not necessarily. It just means it would be a good indication that, hey, we need to get on a low-fat diet and avoid any kind of high-fat treat at all. But that's as much as you can control pancreatitis. You really can't. You can't do much beyond that. There are certain things that make the pancreas angry. I mean, steroids in certain cases can make the pancreas angry, so you really don't want to use those in our sensitive dogs that are prone to developing pancreatitis. In terms of drugs, I think that's the only thing that I can think of that would make pancreas angry. Just kind of backing up the track, as it were, signs of a pancreatitis are often, they mimic a gastroenteritis. So vomiting, I would say vomiting is the biggest sign, but also inappetence. So maybe the animal's nauseous, but hasn't really produced any vomit, but has backed off its appetite, has backed off a little bit. Doesn't always present with diarrhea, but it can. And just the feeling of malaise or kind of lethargy can be associated with pancreatitis. So any of those things would be a reason to bring your animal in to be seen by a vet. And then we have a couple of tests that we can run to look for pancreatitis. Our standard biochemistry will run amylase and lipase, and those are two pancreatic enzymes, but they're not really, really sensitive. I've seen cases of pancreatitis where those levels have not been elevated. So we have an additional test that we run in cases where we might suspect pancreatitis, and it's called the canine pancreatic lipase. That's what it's testing for, and it's actually a kind of a little SNAP test, just like we do for our heartworm test. They have a SNAP test for that. So we collect blood, we spin it down, and then we put it on the SNAP, and that just is just testing for one thing, and that is very sensitive for pancreatitis. So in Molly's case, that's how we diagnosed it, when she popped positive on that. And then pancreatitis itself has this huge spectrum. So, you know, depending on how the dog's feeling and how the dog presents, like if it's been, you know, feeling poorly for a really long, you know, a good few days, a week, and it's dehydrated, then some intensive supportive care is going to be needed. But if it's just a mild case of pancreatitis, we certainly have sent dogs home antibiotics, addressing the nausea with an anti-nausea, anti-emetic injection before starting anything by mouth, and then kind of assessing response to treatment. I mean, a lot of dogs do just fine once you kind of stop the vomiting, get them on the antibiotic to help them through it. Sometimes you do get a sterile pancreatitis, and sometimes it's an infection, and we can't really differentiate very well between the two, so that's why we go on the antibiotics. The two different kinds. Usually I'm using two different kinds to address a different spectrum of the types of bacterial infection that they can get, and then assessing response to treatment. I mean, a lot of animals do just fine being treated outpatient like that, but you have some animals that it's a more significant pancreatitis and they really need some supportive care, and it can end very badly as well. I mean, the pancreas is a very interesting organ in that it's got two different functions. So only that one function is with the digestive enzyme, so it aids with that. But the other one is involved in insulin. So it's involved in sugar regulation. So you can have, on one side of it, you can get a terrible necrotizing pancreatitis where you get the digestive enzyme just going haywire, and it really can cause digestion of the pancreas. It can be just, it turns around and destroy the pancreas. And so that's huge, and that's a very, very bad scenario. And dogs usually don't do very well with that and can lead to death. And then involved in insulin, I mean, you can get either, usually it's, if you're not producing enough insulin, it's just, you know, you get the hyperglycemia because it's not getting to what, sugar's not getting to where it needs to be. So you get it backed up in the bloodstream. And then for some reason, if you get an overproduction of it, then you can go hypoglycemic, and that's almost even worse because that can lead to seizures. So blood sugar is that's a big deal when it comes to the brain and when it comes to the body, regulation of blood sugar. But then digestive enzymes are huge too. Everybody, I think, knows about the pancreas, especially just the human angle of it. We all know of pancreatic cancer and how terrible that is. But I think just as what it does in the body, I mean, it does have two very important jobs in the body. So when it's inflamed and it's not doing what it should be doing, it really can wreak havoc. But like I said, I probably can count on my hand the number of dogs that have not responded well to the treatment plan. And it really is few and far between where we see these terrible, terrible cases of pancreatitis and the necrotizing and the affecting the blood sugar and the whole nine yards. So I don't mean to make everybody panic about the pancreas, but it is important to talk about what an important organ it is and what can happen. On one hand, it's just, it almost indistinguishable from a passing gastroenteritis. And on the other hand, something much more severe. So it's a very interesting organ.
I was very lucky with Molly because she responded very quickly. You put her on the anti-nausea and the antibiotics and a bland diet, and it worked great. And so I've been able to reintroduce her dry dog food along with rice. You told me chicken and rice. She did that for several days, and slowly we took out chicken and we put in the dry dog food, and she's been doing great, and she loves rice. So she responded very quickly. But I mean, how long do you have to maintain that bland diet?
So it depends. If you know the exact cause of what instigated it, if you're like, hey, yep, I did give her five pieces of bacon that morning, then that's pretty much cut and dry. You know what caused it. You don't necessarily have to change her normal dog food. You don't have to change anything except avoid any kind of high fat treat like bacon, you know, in the future. Mm-hmm. But if you don't really know what caused it, that's when you have to be a little bit more discerning and just say, hey, I don't know if I would change her dog food just yet, just because how long, I mean, you've had her 2 years?
Two and a half years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Two and a half years. So she had been on that food, I imagine, for that length of time. Mm-hmm. So I would say that she probably is just fine now and just keep her on her regular diet and avoid any kind of, I actually would avoid any kind of treat that was not either her food or something that is just that you know to be low in fat, because mm-hmm. we know that's what stimulates it. But if, let's say, you know, in a year from now, she comes down with a case of pancreatitis again, and really nothing has, you've been careful with the treats, you've been careful of everything else. That's what I say with these repeat offenders, that it's time to get on a prescription low-fat diet and just stick to that completely and have nothing else, mm-hmm. just to be able to control what you can control. But we do know, I mean, there are, cortisol is, it is a steroid. It's what our body produces in the form of steroid, and its stress causes increase in cortisol. So I don't know that I've ever necessarily been able to connect the dots from stress actually causing a pancreatitis, but it's not outside the realm of possibility. But that's just to say it's more than just diet. Like there's so many other factors that can just kind of set an animal off, especially with the gastrointestinal tract, either that or the pancreas. I mean, there's so many things so many factors that can upset the apple cart. But it's just about trying to change variables and see success.
If you have a question you'd like Dr. Crockett to answer on a future show, you can email it to her to askdrc@wctr.com. This has been Pet Patter.